for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 21st, 2016. Carla Butaud is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Claim Your Inheritance. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace. That means anything that keeps you from peace was upon him. Are you afflicted? Do you have pains? Do you have mental problems? Do you have digestive problems? Do you have cancer? Do you have diabetes? Do you have, I don't care what your ailment is, he suffered it on the cross. He took every sickness and disease. Can you imagine how horrendous? I have a headache, I'm complaining. He took every affliction, every sickness and disease upon himself on the cross for us to be whole. Whole. That means well, happy, successful. That's what he died for. That is his inheritance to you. Now let me ask you something. If somebody left you an inheritance, wouldn't you go claim it? Amen. Wouldn't you go down to that attorney's office and say, hey, I heard that I was left an inheritance by somebody. I want to know what it is. What was left to me? Who gave to me? And do you know how many people, do you know how many lawsuits have been enforced because somebody didn't get one iota of their inheritance? They got this, but this belongs to me too. I'm suing you for it. I'm going to have it. It's mine. It was given to me. That's how we need to be about this.
Amen.
This is what Jesus Christ did for you and has left you. It belongs to you. How bad do you want it? Some of y'all need to get violent. You know, the scripture, Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist. Why? Why John the Baptist? Why? It started in the garden. Why from the days of Adam and Eve? Because John the Baptist came proclaiming the Christ, the anointed one of God, that would destroy the works of the devil. That's when the violence started. The devil thought, uh-oh, the one, he's going to destroy me. He's going to try to destroy me. We got to kill him. He thought he had done away with Jesus. But little did he know that when that seed fell into the ground, that it was going to multiply to everyone who would believe on him, and they would have that same power as Jesus. And you talk about turn the world right side up, upside down, however you want to say it. It started out right side up, and the devil turned it upside down. We need to turn it right side up again. So let's look at this. I broke down all these words so that you could see that I don't care what it is that you are suffering, he took it for you. He took it for you. Born means to lift, accept, carried away, eased, and took away our grief. How many of us are walking around with grief? You can see it on people. A spirit of heaviness, sorrow, grief. That's all wrapped up in depression. I cried for no reason. You know what? I went to the psychiatrist, and he said, do you know why you cry? Dang, something else I got to worry about. I don't even know why I'm crying. Why am I crying? I mean, all I want to do is get married and have babies, and I got married and have babies, and now I'm miserable. What am I going to do now? That's when fantasy is bad. I lived in a fantasy. Oh, marriage was going to be this, and Mike was going to fulfill all my desires, and I was going to be happy, and our happiness was going to bring babies, and babies and babies. And I was trapped in a nightmare, and I could not wake up. And I crashed and burned. My bubble burst, and I mean I crashed and burned. That's what the depression was all about. That pot at the end of the rainbow is not there. And it only shows up when it rains. So one day, I realized why I was crying. Went back to the psychiatrist. I said, I know why I cry. I am mourning my own death. He makes a little notation. I said, not dead, buried in the ground, dead. I'm just telling you that the woman I've always known myself to be no longer exists, and I don't know who in the world I am. That became a prayer. Lord, show me who I am. I need to know who I am. Lord, show me who I am. I need to know who I am to you. Not just a wife, not just a mother, not just a daughter, not just a granddaughter, not just a sister. I need to know who I am all by myself to you. Where do I fit into this? And he answered me. I know who I am. And if you don't know who you are, let that be a prayer. He wants you to know who you are. He said, I love you. I had grown to hate myself because I had demons. I had depression. I had anger. I had, isn't it nice? I've even forgotten what all I had. I really have. I have forgotten. But I thought those were me. And I hated myself because I could not fix me. So to me, it was hopeless. If this is who I am, I wouldn't want to be around me either. My marriage was destroyed. It was horrible. But he said, and I was so lonely because I'd alienated everybody with my anger and my bitterness and my resentment. I was lonely. I didn't have any friends. All my friends went to work. I was looking forward to raising children with my friends, and they all went to work and took their babies to daycare. I was by myself. I had nobody. That was terrible. And so he said, I love you. I died for you. I would have died only for you. I created you. All those things you don't like about yourself, I'm going to perfect them for my purposes. I'll never be too busy for you. I love the sound of your voice because I talk too much. I love the sound of your voice. Talk to me. He said a lot of other things. But anyway, he took my depression. He bore our griefs. Grief means, now see if any of this fits you, disease or disorder of mind, body or mind. Disease or disorder of body or mind. Anxiety. We heard that this weekend. Anxiety. Weakness. Sickness. Affliction. Calamity. That word means a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss. Heard that one here this weekend too. Made sorry, sore, and writhing in pain. When the reality of what Jesus Christ did for me, I was pregnant with my first baby, and I was not liking how it was going to get here. Because I'm a wimp. I had seen people on TV, I'm thinking, I don't know if I'll ever have a baby. But writhing in pain, that's childbirth. But guess what? That was part of the curse that was put on woman. Multiplied sorrow in childbirth. But guess what, ladies? This was the reality. When I was sitting there thinking about how he was going to get out. Woo, Lord, when I get to heaven, I'm going to hunt Eve down and I am going to punch her in the nose. Because it's her fault that I have to have this pain. God said, really? What would you have done? Forgive me, Lord. I would have eaten it. I know I would have. Well, what am I supposed to do with this pain then? Who can I blame? You know, who can be responsible for this pain? And then a scripture came to my mind. He became the curse. Wow. He became the curse? Wait a minute. If I believe him, if he is my Savior and my Lord, then he became the curse that was put on me. He became it and removed it, broke it off of me. I don't have to have that. I went around telling everybody, they thought, have you been in a delivery room? But let me tell you something. I didn't know this was going to happen, but that was so real to me. I started, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You suffered the pain of my childbirth on the cross. I was so excited. And guess what? I had baby, baby, baby. No pain. None. And you know what? I found it in the Word. When the decree was given to kill all the Hebrew baby boys that were born, it says that the midwives told the king, but the Hebrew women, the baby comes before the time of their pain or something to that effect. You look it up. But that's what it says. Those that were gods, that he is the God of, it's different than when you don't have that God. So babies with no pain, it's possible. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. He carried our sorrows. Carried means to suffer the burden. He suffered the burden. Labored. He did the work. He suffered it. Why do you want to? He did it. He carried our sorrows. Sorrows. Here's the definition of sorrows. Anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind. That means mentally, emotionally, and physically. It means sadness, continued pain, or distress. That kind of sounds like what cancer does to you. Continued pain or distress. Mental problems. Continued pain and distress. It means affliction. And that means any cause of continued pain or distress. How about that? It means blemishes. It means destruction. Okay? Anybody suffered any of those things? He was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded means injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue. That's what they did to Jesus. They whipped him. Those 39 stripes cut his flesh. Broken open as with a wedge. Don't you know his heart was broken open like they stuck a wedge in it. Profaned or violated or treated with irreverence. They did that to Jesus. Abuse, contempt, and desecrated. That's what it means to be wounded. Have any of you been wounded? Well, he was wounded. He took your wounds. He suffered your pains. He did it. He suffered it. He was wounded for our transgressions, our rebellion, our sin, our trespasses. Let it be real to you. He was bruised for our iniquities. Bruised means beat to pieces. Oh, they beat him. It means break. It means destroy. It means humble. Such as to destroy the power or prestige of. Here he was, the Son of God, the King of Kings. And they desecrated him. They treated him with irreverence. It means smite with sudden hard blows. Yeah, they were hitting him, kicking him, spitting him, pulling his hair out. oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty. Yeah, that's what they did to Jesus. Mocked him. Bruised for our iniquities, our perversities, our moral evils, our fault, our mischief, our wrongdoings. He took the beating for that. That's what we deserve. He took it for us. In the chastisement of our peace, chastisement is correction, discipline, rebuke for whatever is keeping us from having peace so we can have peace. He suffered it so that we can have peace. What have we done with that peace? Why are we not living in peace? He did all of this so that we could be whole and live in peace. Peace means safe, well or whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, complete, and restored. That doesn't leave anything out. Listen, the woman with the issue of blood had gone to many doctors and suffered many things and grew only worse. Why is that? They can't fix you. Jesus can fix you completely, wholly, and with his stripes, with his black and blue marks, with his bruises, with his hurt, with his wounds, and with his welts, we are healed. Made well. You want to be made well? Wilt thou be made whole? You want to be made well? You want to be healthy? You want to be mended and cured? You want to be repaired thoroughly? Made whole, which means free from defect or damage. It means intact, having all its parts. That's what he did for us. Can you receive it today? Are you ready to be happy and healthy and whole and productive? Let me tell you, a lot of these sicknesses, and let's not be mistaken where it comes from. I'm going to read to you Acts 10:38. It's going to tell us. I talked about the woman that had the spirit of infirmity, that Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, whom Satan hath bound." Who bound her? Satan. God didn't bound her. God didn't even allow it. It just is, because that's what Satan does. And if we don't recognize the origin of what's going on with us, we will look to the wrong person to get rid of it. We need to stand up and start saying, "No, Satan. This is mine. It belongs to me. And I'm coming here today. I am probating the will. And I'm telling you that your sickness is trespassing on my property. And it belongs to Jesus Christ. And I tell you to get out in Jesus' name. You sickness that is tormenting me, get out in Jesus' name. Get violent." The rest of that scripture, Matthew 11:12, says the violent take it by force. It's this. Your inheritance. Yes. What he left you in his kingdom. It's yours. Yes. He gave it to you. Yes. I'm receiving it. Buddy, I learned how to be a gracious receiver. I receive it. People say, "God bless you." I receive that. Yes. And I'm not playing with it either. Yes. I'm receiving it. Thank you. Someone gives me a gift. Thank you. I receive it. Do you know my blessed little mother-in-law? She can't get up and walk to the kitchen anymore. So I bring her breakfast on a tray. And do you know what she says to me every time without fail? "Seems like I ought to be able to get up and do this myself." She is so angry that she cannot, that she's losing her independence and having to depend on somebody else. Thank goodness I don't have the spirit of offense. I know where she is. I just give it to her and go on my way. She can't receive goodness. It's an unloving spirit. Can't receive goodness. Learn to receive. when somebody wants to do, oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, you don't have to. You know what I learned when I had back surgery and I couldn't even wipe my own rear end? You learn to receive it with grace and gratefulness. Thank you for being willing to do that for me. Thank you. I had people that would come wash my hair. People that would come shave my legs. People that would come cut my toenails. Thank you. I was so weak when I got home from the hospital because I almost died. Satan tried to kill me. He did. I hemorrhaged after surgery. I lost 6 pints of blood. My blood pressure went down to 70 over 40. But I lived.
Amen.
But I was so weak when I got home, I couldn't pick up a styrofoam glass and drink it. You know what I learned? Those back muscles are involved in everything you do. Cough for me. Oh! You know, that back is involved in everything you do. And I had scoliosis, and my brother, remember that fear? Huge fear. I wasn't even going to have the surgery. My brother said, you know, Jesus can take that fear. He was a good Methodist preacher. I wish he could have told me, Jesus can heal your back. If I could believe for him to take my fear, I could believe for him to heal me. I mean, belief is belief, faith is faith. If you have a grain of a mustard seed, let me tell you, it's powerful. Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were. Now, if they needed healing, that means they were sick or afflicted, right? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's where sickness comes from. I've learned to be a detective. Take my little brush. Whose fingerprints is on this? Someone stole my wedding ring and hawked it. The devil. He's the thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life. He's all about life. And life abundantly. Abundant life. The devil is the author of sickness and disease. That's where it comes from. So when you get sick, there are some things you need to do. Have I committed some kind of sin that's brought this on me? Because sin will bring sickness. The man they lowered in the roof, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And don't do it anymore, lest the worst thing come upon you. Sin can cause sickness. So examine yourself. We talked about that Friday night. Examine yourself first. But if you examine yourself and God shows you something, repent. Go to the elders of the church, be anointed with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. And if you have committed sin, it shall be forgiven you. Right? You may have committed a sin you don't even remember. But if you do what God says, it's forgiven. You can be healed. Or it could be from the enemy, just being oppressed by the enemy. And sometimes the accuser of the brethren wants to come and say, oh, what did you do? And that in itself becomes a distraction from standing up and saying, no, wait a minute. Right here, by his stripes I am healed. If you can't find anything that you've done, then stand up and tell him, no. You sickness, get out of my body. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I got up one day and I had this pain in my knee. I could hardly walk. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? I've never had trouble with my knee. I limped around about a half a day until I thought, oh, wait a minute. In the name of Jesus, you spirit that's causing this pain in my knee, I bind you and break your power and I command you to get out of my body. In Jesus' name. Went on about my business. I may have limped a little bit more, but you know what? It went away quickly. By the end of the day, I was walking fine. Sometimes it's just a demon. They come to torment you. It's time to stand up and tell him. You're going to have to fight for your inheritance. The violent, that word means vitally active, energetic, and forceful. Are we being vitally active, energetic, and forceful? Are we laying in the bed, oh, I feel so terrible. Oh, gosh, I wish this would just go away. No. Fight for it. You sickness that's coming into my body, I bind you and break your power. It's real easy. I told someone this morning, there's just one bullet. In the name of Jesus, get out. Look. In the name of Jesus, get out. In the name of Jesus, let's practice. In the name of Jesus, get out. That's right. You may not feel very forceful when you first start doing it, but let me tell you something. The more you do it, the more power comes with it. And when you point that finger of God, the demons tremble. And let me tell you something else. Every one of you, raise your hand if you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Woo-hoo. He lives in you.
Yes.
He lives in you. Everything that Jesus Christ walked on this earth with is in you. Now, the devil makes you feel inadequate. Oh, you don't have enough power. You don't have enough word in you. You don't this. You don't that. No. Listen, there were people that didn't even really know Jesus, and they were casting out demons in his name, and guess what? People were getting delivered.
Amen.
And Jesus said, leave them alone. If they're not against me, they're for me. You can do it. It's time to open your mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you've got the word of God. He's giving you permission. Let me read that one. That wasn't even in my notes. But listen, this is where he gave you permission. Luke 10:19. Behold, Jesus said, I give unto you power. You know what the word power means? Power. Power. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, not a little, some, you need a bigger something to get rid of that one, all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Power. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your power? It's time to open your mouth and use the power. He's giving you permission. Moses was given the rod. God gave it to him to perform miracles. And yet, when they got delivered out of Egypt, their back is against the Red Sea. The people are freaking out. They're ready to kill Moses. We came all this way to get killed. We would have been better off staying back there. And he's going, fear not, fear not. He's giving himself a pep talk. Today, you will see the hand of the Lord. And God interrupted him. Check it out. Exodus 14. God interrupted him and said, why are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod. We have a rod of authority.
Amen.
It's the name of Jesus Christ. The same name that David slew Goliath with. You have a sword and a shield and a sword. I come in the name of the host of Israel, the Almighty God, that awesome. Our God is awesome. I just love that song. Awesome. How awesome is your God? He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your protector. He's our all in all. He's all I need. Is he really? Come on now. This is hard work, I know. It's because it's putting a demand on the Jesus in you. What are you doing with him? Okay, at the bottom here, this is just kind of a little summary. My child, put your name in there. When I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary, I took upon myself the payment for sin that otherwise would have been required of you. He took your place on that cross of crucifixion. He took your place. We deserve that. There's something to be thankful for. Without him, we would go to hell. That's something to be thankful for. I suffered the shame, the punishment, the condemnation, and damnation for your sin so you wouldn't have to. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. Recently, I got an email from a Jewish man. I was kind of perplexed. Jewish man needs prayer. And he said, he had heard me on Omega Man Radio, and you seem like a woman of great faith and a woman who God hears, and I would like for you to pray, remember me in your prayers. I'm struggling, told me a few other things. I'm not interested in becoming a Christian. Surely you know I'm going to be praying in the name of Jesus. What are you going to do with that? You know, at first, I mean, these are the thoughts that were going through my mind. And then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus healed them all. Healing and deliverance is a great evangelical tool. Because when you heal somebody, just like every time in the Bible, they knew who did it. And they glorified God. That's what we want. And they wanted to follow him. Jesus said, no, go home. Tell everybody what God has done for you. Go publish it. That just means spread it out. Doesn't mean put it in the paper. It just means let it be known what God has done for you. Wow. Can you imagine that man's mama and daddy when he walked in the house carrying his sick bed? I want to read one more scripture. It's in Matthew. May have lost my marker. Well, I'll just tell it to you because I know it. I think it's Matthew 8. Thank you very much. I think it's Matthew chapter 8. It might not be, but
8:13?
No, it's not. Let me just tell it to you. When Jesus went into Jerusalem and he went into the temple and there were money changers there, they were in the outer court. I don't know if I said this the other night, but in the Old Testament, the temple tabernacle was three parts: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Jesus goes into the temple and there are money changers. They're selling doves for sacrifices and all, man, exchanging money. All this kind of stuff was going on. Remember, he said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. And he made the cords and he overturned the tables and he whipped everybody out of there. That is symbolic of deliverance. The demons are not in the inner court where your spirit is. The demons are in the outer court. It says after he cast them out, is the word, cast them out, then the blind and the lame could come in and be healed. See, we have demonic things in our outer court that are keeping healing from happening. That's why I love the ministry of casting out demons, because when you cast those things out, then healing comes. That's been my experience with learning about deliverance. Let me tell you, when Jezebel got cast out, healing came to my house. I hated her, but I thought it was me, so that's part of the self-hatred. Ranting and raving. I was trying to stop it myself. I'm not going to do that anymore. I am not going to do it anymore. And here came the opportunity. And it's like a volcano. You feel it way down there. Here it comes. And I'm ranting and raving and screaming and hollering. And my spirit woman is over there going, Carla, shut up. Just shut up. I felt like there were two of me. That's crazy. That is the definition of schizophrenic. Two minds. There were two minds. There were me and her. And she ruled, let me tell you. She'll rule you and she'll rule anybody else that will bow to her. And if you don't bow, she'll have you killed. That's what she did to the prophet. She's fierce. She is an Antichrist spirit. So anyway, that's symbolic of where the demons are in our outer court. They're in our outer court, and they're keeping us from being healed. It's necessary. This has got to come into the church. It's for the church. It's the children's bread. No wonder we're all so hungry. We're not eating the bread. And why? So if all of this is true, and it is, let me tell you, it's true, then why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Jesus answered that. The traditions of man make the Word of God of no effect. That's why it ain't working. We've been going to the traditions of man. He's our provider. I need a house. I'm going to the bank. He's my healer. I'm going to the doctor. What are we doing with what he's given us? You know what? When I want to talk about this with people, it's like, Lord, we have gotten so far away from that line, that narrow path, that can they get back to it? Can we actually get back to trusting and believing on Jesus Christ? Yes. That's the question. It's a hard word. I'm sorry. But I make no apologies. I just did, didn't I? Well, it's hard to see where we're falling short. And then we want to know, why isn't it working? Well, this is why. Because we have turned to the traditions of the world. Yeah, Beelzebub. The God of Ekron.
And the word says, and they that know their God shall do exploits. That goes on, and then they by violence take it by force.
We've got to become violent, bodily active, energetic, and forceful. Okay, so now, since we've heard this, where do I want to go from here? Well, I want to speak to the spirit of infirmity. That's one of those outer court things, a spirit of infirmity whom Satan has bound you with. Satan has bound you with a spirit of infirmity. And I say to you women today, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Get out. Let me hear you say it. Infirmity, get out of me. In the name of Jesus Christ. My inheritance has provided every need I will ever have. I receive your healing, Lord. I receive your sacrifice on the cross. Through shedding every drop of your blood to heal me. I receive it right now by faith. In the name of Jesus. Now when you go home, let me tell you, these things have been rooted in us for a long time. You have a little tiny weed. I mean, it could be an oak tree. It's this big. You can pinch it off with your thumb. But when it has become an oak tree, you're going to have to take the axe to it. I break your power off of me, and I command you to go. Here's another. If you're sick, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:23 that the husband is the head of the wife. That's been misused. Don't even pay attention. Try to forget what you've learned about that. The husband is the head of the wife. There is much protection. It's a wonderful thing to have a husband. I've learned to appreciate my husband. I give him honor to the position that God put him in.
Amen.
He's the priest of our house. Amen. Even when he didn't know it, he was the priest of our house.
Amen.
I'm telling you, put a demand on the things that Jesus has given you. When in the house, 5:23, the husband is the head of the house. Husband, even as Christ is head of the church, and he, the husband, was the rest of it. It's the Savior, little s. I looked it up. Everywhere else in the Bible, it's capitalized and it's talking about Jesus. But in this scripture, Savior, little s, husband of the body, little b, big B, body of Christ, husband, little b, body, family, the little body. Let's go to him. In the Old Testament, they would go to the priest if they had a sickness. That's why when the leper got healed, he said, go show yourself to the priest. They're like, how'd that happen? I didn't do that. No, Jesus did. But go to your husband and just say, honey, would you pray for me? I need you to lay your hands on me and pray for me and administer the healing that Jesus Christ did. That's what we need to change, some bad habits. Pray for me. No, he's already done it. Administer what he's already done to you.
Yes.
Administer what he's already done to you.
Yes.
First time I asked my husband today, he says, I don't know how to do that. I said, well, just bring me your hands, honey. I'll tell you what to say. I need your hands. Lay your hands on me. Because he's got good hands. He should have been a masseuse. But I wouldn't want him laying his hands on nobody else.
All right.
He's got good hands. So he came and laid hands on me. I was having this piercing. I really think it was probably a fiery dart. Because every once in a while I'd get this. It was just like someone took a needle this long and stuck it straight through my eye and it came out the back of my head. Oh, wow. And it was going on and on and on. And I said, honey, come lay your hands on me. Command this thing to cease and to sit. You thing that is causing this pain in my wife's body, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Not rocket science. It stopped immediately. Immediately. See, when you obey the word of God. Anyway, are you encouraged? Do you know your awesome God? Is he your provider? Is he your healer? Is he your defender? Is he your all in all? Is he all you need? He really is. I encourage you to give him that place in your life. That's going to take some changing, ladies. And it's going to take some trust. I'm not telling you to jump off the cliff. You know, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm not telling you to throw away your medicine. I'm not telling you, that's between you and God, but he wants to be your healer.
Amen.
Because he is.
Amen.
Go to him. Start talking to that thing and watch what happens.
Amen.
I was going to do an altar call, but I'm not. We've been at the altar.
Amen.
We have been at the altar.
Yes.
Receive it in Jesus' name. I speak to every person that has an infirmity in their body. I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus Christ that took every sickness and disease. And you know what? In Psalm 91, it says the noisome pestilence. And let me tell you, I wrote those words down. That is any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. I speak death to it if it's in your body. Death to the infection. Death to the bacteria. Death to fungus in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I'm departing. I bless the food. I bless the hands that prepared it. I bless every mouth that eats it. Go in peace and be healed in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.